Moncrief on News Talk.
A question the writer and journalist Eily Dorgan has been hearing a lot lately is, why did you do that? Eily recently went to a darkness retreat. She spent 84 hours by herself in the pitch black. Eily, good afternoon.
Hi, Sean. How are you doing?
Describe the place that you went to. Is it kind of like a regular hotel?
So, no. So, it's basically, it's the first of its kind in England, I think in the UK. It doesn't look like much. It's basically a bungalow that looks a bit like a place where you would get murdered. So, I didn't have high hopes when I arrived there. But basically, what the guy has done is he has renovated this bungalow because there are five rooms and they're all en suite. So he needed to have a bunch of, they all needed to have en suite rooms, and he needed to figure out a way to get all of the rooms to be pitch black. So he kind of settled on this one specific location that's not very glamorous.
Right. Okay. And each room, are the windows blacked out or is there a window at all?
So there are windows, but then what he does is he has these kind of like custom made boards that he brings in, and he's figured out a way to completely black out everything. So you have a bathroom, but that's completely blacked out. You have your bedroom, but everything is completely pitch black.
Right. So when he brings you down there, is there a period during which your eyes get used to the darkness in advance of going into the room? And, you know, is there, I suppose when you arrive there, is there kind of a period of a couple of hours where there, you know, he might be explaining to you, you might feel this, you might feel that, and, you know, knock three times if you start freaking out and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, he called me beforehand and we had like a 20-minute conversation, and he just, I had to check that I was kind of mentally not fragile, I guess. But and then the day of, you kind of, you arrive in the evening, you have this kind of ceremony with like a tea light, and then he does talk you through what you can maybe expect. He also gives you some something to cover your eyes, and you kind of try it out for like 20 minutes or so just to kind of familiarize yourself with the room before he puts the boards up.
And what did he tell you that you might expect?
I mean, I tried not to Google it, but I inevitably ended up Googling it. I mean, there was one tech billionaire who went in and he was on X and he was like about to go into the darkness retreat. And then like 12 hours later, he was like, I couldn't handle it. He was like, I had sleep paralysis demons. I mean, so it can go really badly really quickly for some people. Other people say it's like the most enlightening, amazing thing ever. But I think you have to be in there for a while because basically your brain starts releasing different chemicals. And I think that doesn't really happen until you're in there for like 5 days, which, I mean, I wasn't going
to
do.
Yeah. And now, and just to be clear to anyone listening, you weren't locked in there. You could have walked out at any time, I assume.
Yeah. So the door was unlocked, but you don't have a phone, you don't have a TV, you have no contact with anybody. And it just becomes a point of pride. You're like, I've committed myself to be in here. And it's kind of, you know, like a test in a way.
Yeah. Okay. So on in terms of I was going to say the routine of your day, but I assume there isn't much of a routine. When you go in there and the door shuts behind you and you can't see anything, is that potentially dangerous? Were you kind of having to feel your way around to see where your bed was, where the loo was, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, I'd seen the room beforehand. So I kind of, before he put up the board, so I knew what the vague kind of layout was. But yeah, I mean, the first night you basically just go to sleep. And I really thought like, oh, this is great. I'm just going to sleep for 3 days. You know, I have two small kids. This is like amazing. But really, that is not what happens. And you end up kind of, you lose it a bit because you just become so, so bored. And I wanted to have kind of profound, you know, realization, but really I was just extremely bored. And, you know, you kind of create like a prison routine or something. I was, you know, like doing arm exercises on the loo and like, you know, trying to do some yoga. I'm not a particularly yoga-y person, so I couldn't pass that much time doing it. I also sat, like, I had a pad of paper, and if you wrote a line and then folded it over, you were kind of able to keep track of what you'd written. So I spent quite a lot of time writing, although, I mean, it was relatively insane what I wrote.
And food would be brought to you? Was there kind of a little, was it like a prison-like hatch and a tray would be slid at you kind of thing?
Yeah, so there was a little hatch, and he basically sometimes a little bit of light would come in, but there were basically in the hatch on your side that was blacked out, and the hatch on like where it opened up was blacked out too. So you shouldn't really have any light coming in. But it was really weird because he did not serve food that was like, you know, just like pieces of bread. Like sometimes it was porridge, and it's quite weird to put your fingers in something and not know what it is. And
oh,
it's porridge, you know.
Was it difficult to actually even eat in the dark?
That was kind of okay, but it was more just, I had said I like to think I'm a pretty good eater, but then I realized I'm really not, because I'm like, oh, I don't like that thing, or there's like avocado over there. So you find yourself being like, oh God, I'm eating all the stuff I don't really like, because you have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah, and how often would meals come?
So it was just twice a day, because you have like less, you know, you're less active. So it was basically in the morning and then in the evening. So the morning one, kind of, you knew it was morning because he, you know, you'd get the food, and then you knew it was becoming darker because you'd get your evening meal.
And but you weren't hungry, even though it was twice a day.
No, I wasn't hungry. That was like an okay amount of food.
Yeah. Okay. And so going to the toilet, not to be indelicate, but going to the toilet and showering, was that potentially dangerous?
Well, showering, I had a real fear because I have long hair, so I use conditioner, and I really thought I was just going to slip and die on that. That felt like a hazard. But actually, showering was the highlight of the experience because it was just a different sensation. So you're like, you know, you have water on you. You know, I had like nice smelling things that I brought in. And so just having a different sensation was actually really nice. And then going to the loo was fine. But then I didn't realize you kind of chuck loo paper in the toilet, kind of with wanton abandon when you're in daylight. I realized I was kind of accumulating a pile of loo paper because I could not see what I was doing. But otherwise, generally okay.
But a bit, so in terms of activity, you had eating twice a day. You'd go, you know, you might go to the loo a few times and you'd have a shower. So other than that, you're alone with your thoughts. And like, was that productive or was it surprising, I suppose? Did you find yourself dredging up memories from the past and old traumas and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that there would be more, but I definitely had, like, I had a sense that, like, you know, being in this room, I kind of thought about other bedrooms I'd been in where I didn't really feel safe, or it was like a darker kind of moment in my life. And so I kind of went on a little journey with that, but there was nothing. And I thought about my family and my kids and my husband, like, kind of came out of it with a newfound appreciation for them, and just realizing that even though, you know, it's super chaotic, I just obviously prefer that so much more than sitting in a dark room.
Yeah. Did you hallucinate at all?
Yeah, I kind of had some little wisps of lights. I was like really hoping I would just hallucinate for 4 days. It over. But I think basically the hallucinations tend to kick in about day 5.
Wow. Okay. But was it, I'm getting the sense of that mostly it was just boredom.
I know. And I really wish it wasn't. I mean, the thing was, I've been on a retreat like a few weeks before, which I hadn't really planned on, but it was the Charlotte Church one where you go, and that's much more about community and you're talking to people and your phone doesn't work. And I got a lot more out of that, I think, just being without my phone and without being like unable to contact anyone, but with people in a dark room.
Yeah. And the menu was vegan, as I understand it. So you had no phone, no caffeine, no, you know, no fun stuff at all.
Yeah, no. And I was supposed to like cut back on alcohol for like a week before or something.
Oh, wow. And so when you got out, did you think, I don't need my phone, I don't need that coffee anymore?
Not the coffee. I definitely needed coffee. But my phone, I didn't, because I'd had two things like within 2 weeks. It was like a pretty weird month. I was like, you know, actually, you do realize how little you need your phone, but it just becomes so easy to use your phone all the time, you know. And even if you try, like sometimes I try and use my computer more, but you just, you know, the thing that's in your hand is usually the easiest. But there is the realization that you just don't miss it. And you do kind of mentally feel better not having it there all the time.
When you were in the room, could you hear anything? Could you hear people weeping in another room or, you know?
There was someone there who was there for 29 days.
Oh!
Like I was a short-term stay. The guy next to me, there was some mysterious man next to me. And I could kind of hear him, but not really.
Oh, gosh. Was it worth it, do you think? Did you feel that you gained something from it?
I think it's worth it to have the experience, but I almost just feel like, you know, I don't know if I overthink things, but I go through everything in my head all the time anyway. So I'm just like, was there just nothing to plow through, you know, irrigate my brain consistently?
Eily, thanks a million for telling us about that. That was the writer and journalist Eily Dorgan there. Owen says, went to a blind restaurant in Berlin and they don't tell you the food in advance, literally pitch black. And very disorienting. The taste buds as well. And of the four of us, only one guessed the correct main course. Well, and when you say a blind restaurant, is that the kind of like in the dark restaurants that they have where they kind of serve you the food in darkness? I don't know. Do they tell you in that situation what the food is? In true 100% darkness, your eyes don't adjust as there's no light to adjust to. Experienced this recently in Alwi Caves when the tour guide turns off the lights for 30 seconds. It was cool. Says Dave and Galway. I'm sure it was, but it probably just as equally freaked some many people out.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.